Chapter 3. Two weeks ago, we started looking at the sermon that Peter preaches in Acts chapter 3. It is the second recorded sermon in the book of Acts that was preached by Peter. Of course, the first one was in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And now this second recorded sermon preached by Peter is after Peter and John healed a man that was lame from his birth at the temple. And as they did perform that miracle, it drew a crowd as people recognized that this lame man was healed. As we've said all along, that these miracles, these signs and wonders were done by the apostles to verify the message and the messenger. And this miracle did exactly what it was supposed to do. It brought the crowd together, and they were able to verify that this message and messenger was indeed from God. And so Peter begins in verse 12 to preach this sermon. We looked at verses 12 through 18 two weeks ago, and verses 12 through 18, Peter preaches Christ. And then verses 19 through 26, Peter preaches repentance through Christ. As he begins this sermon and he preaches Christ, he does not hold back. Remember when we looked at those verses, he comes right out and accuses his audience of killing the Messiah. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He just says, you killed the Messiah. And in verse 13, he says, Jesus, which means Jehovah saves, this one who came to save you, this one who came to deliver you, instead you delivered him into the hands of Pilate. And this one who is the Prince of Life, or we said that word prince could be originator of life, this one who is the Prince of Life or the originator of life, you rejected him and accepted one who took life, Barabbas, a murderer. You rejected the Holy One and the Righteous One, and you accepted the unholy and unrighteous Barabbas. And so he really just doesn't hold back at all. He accuses them of killing the Messiah, but then he very much affirms that though they killed him, God raised him up from the dead. And it is this resurrected Jesus, it is in his name that this man is healed before you. It is through faith in this resurrected Jesus that this man is healed before you. And then he begins to preach repentance. And that this same Jesus, the Messiah, whom you killed, who God raised up, he's coming back. He's coming back to establish the kingdom. But he begins to preach repentance. Notice in verse 19, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So he begins right off by preaching repentance. And as he preaches repentance, as you continue down through this sermon, there are five results if they repent. Five results if they repent. First, their sins will be forgiven, verse 19. The kingdom will come, verses 19 and 21. The Messiah will return, verse 20. Judgment will be avoided if you repent, in verses 22 through 24. And then blessing will be realized, verses 25 and 26. So five results of repentance. And that's the remainder of this message. So he says repent. If you repent, he says, your sins will be blotted out. Sins will be forgiven. Think about that for a moment. He has just accused them of killing the Messiah. He's just accused them of killing the Holy One and the Righteous One. He's just accused them of accepting a murderer instead of the Prince of Life. And yet he holds out hope for them. If you repent, even this sin of killing the Messiah will be blotted out. it'll be forgiven. Perhaps he was thinking of Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. God speaking, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions. And so Peter says, repent and your sins will be wiped out. Your sins will be blotted out. Your sins will be forgiven. Even the sin of killing the Messiah. You know, once in a while you run across people, if you witness and share the gospel with some, and some have concluded that they've just sinned too much to be forgiven, that God would never forgive what they've done, that God would never forgive their sin, that they've sinned too much or the sin that they've committed is too great. If you ever run across somebody like that and you're witnessing, bring them to this passage. Tell him Peter was talking to the very ones who crucified the Messiah, crucified God the Son. And he holds out the ability to be forgiven of that sin. What a marvelous picture of God's grace. Repent and your sins will be forgiven. No sin is beyond the grace of God, including the crucifixion of Christ. And so he says, repent and your sins will indeed be forgiven. That's the first result. Second result, right there in verse 19 also, is that the kingdom will come. Notice, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing, that's a phrase to refer to the establishment of the kingdom. The Messiah was to come. And remember, Peter is preaching to the Jewish people here. People who were still waiting for their Messiah. They didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to establish the kingdom. That's what they're waiting for. That's what they're looking for. And so Peter now is saying, the Messiah has come. You crucified him, but God raised him up, and he's still planning on establishing the kingdom. You first have to repent. Repent, and he'll come and establish the kingdom. Remember John the Baptist, Jesus himself when he was on earth before his crucifixion? The disciples were sent out by Jesus to preach what? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message of John the Baptist. That was the message of Jesus and his disciples. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now the Jewish people did not repent. Instead, they crucified the king, and so the kingdom did not come. But Peter now in this message is saying to these same people who crucified the king, he's saying, if you repent, the kingdom will come. The message hasn't changed. The message before was repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And now they crucified the king. But now Peter's saying the message is the same. Repent, and the kingdom of heaven will come. The message hasn't changed. Repentance is still necessary before the kingdom can come. And so you need repent. And he says in verse 21 as well about the kingdom, when the heaven must receive, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution or restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the age began. Peter's saying that this restoration, again, that's a terminology referring to the establishment of the kingdom. They would be restored to prosperity. They would be restored to holiness and righteousness. Really, it's a restoration eventually to what it was prior to sin, the original creation, restoration to that original creation. It's a reversal of the curse. He said that'll come. You need to repent. But that time is coming. In the Old Testament prophets, he said, prophesied of that time as well. They prophesied of the restoration. They prophesied of the coming kingdom. Again, the nation at the time of Christ rejected him, rejected the king. The kingdom didn't come. But Peter now is saying, if you repent, the kingdom will come. Not only will the kingdom come, but he says in verse 20 that the Messiah will return. This same Jesus, this same Messiah, whom God raised up after you put him to death, this same Messiah will come again. Notice he says in verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you. He will send Jesus Christ, the word Christ, Messiah. He will send Jesus the Messiah, this same Jesus. The same Jesus who you had preached to you before. Prior to the crucifixion, they heard about Jesus being the Messiah. They rejected it. But now this same Jesus whom you've heard preached before is going to return. Repent. He'll return to establish the kingdom. In verse 21, it says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things. He's in heaven now, Peter's saying. The Messiah is now in heaven. He's just waiting for two things. He's waiting for you to repent and for God to send him, God the Father. That's what he says here in these verses. He says in verse 20, and he shall send Jesus, the Messiah. So he's waiting for two things. He's in heaven waiting for you to repent and for the Father to send him. Keep your finger there in Acts 3 and go back to Matthew chapter 23 just for a moment. I want you to see what Jesus said in Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, he was basically saying, the kingdom will not be established until you repent. Matthew 23 and verse 38, Jesus is at the temple in Jerusalem. And he says, behold your house, and your house here is referring to the temple. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. I think there's a great thing going on here that very easily we could miss. Christ says, because you've rejected me, your temple, your house, he says, your temple is left to you desolate. And I'm not coming back until you repent and say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And then he leaves the temple. And Christ has never been back to the temple since this time. He left the temple. He was later crucified. After his crucifixion, he never went back to the temple. The temple was left desolate. The temple was left empty. The temple was to be the dwelling place of God. Jesus being God was there. But he left. And he's not coming back until Israel repents. Until they say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So Peter, in this message, is saying, repent. Your sins will be forgiven. The Messiah will return, and the kingdom will be established, but not until you repent. Then in verses 22 through 24, now the result of their repentance, judgment will be avoided. Verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things, whatever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Peter quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 18. And it is a quote from that passage in Deuteronomy 18. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses prophesied that God would send a prophet like himself, like Moses. And they would have to listen to that prophet. And if they did not listen to that prophet, they would be destroyed. And it was understood by the Jewish people throughout their history that the prophet who Moses was referring to would be the Messiah. So Peter now is going back to Deuteronomy 18, and he's saying the prophet that Moses spoke of is this Jesus, the Messiah, whom you crucified. He's coming back. He's going to establish the kingdom, and you need to listen to him, just like Moses told you back 1,400 years ago. That's how much time had been between Moses and Jesus, about 1,400 years. And just as Moses had said 1,400 years ago, you need to listen to the prophet. They didn't. They crucified him. But now Peter's saying you need to listen to him. Listen to the prophet. Listen to the Messiah. If you do, judgment will be avoided. If you don't, judgment will come. So he says, repent. He says in verse 24, all the prophets, beginning with Samuel, right on up through all of the prophets of the Old Testament, prophesied concerning the coming Messiah, prophesied concerning judgment if they rejected the Messiah, prophesied concerning the kingdom when they repented and accepted the Messiah. All of the prophets spoke on that very same subject. And now Peter is just relaying that same truth to them. And then in verses 25 through 26, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abram, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. The fifth result of repentance is blessing will be realized. The blessing promised all the way back at the time of Abraham, which is now about 2,200 years prior to this time. And that promise given to Abraham will be realized when you repent. He promised to Abraham that in his seed, all the kindreds of the earth would be blessed. And we understand that the seed of Abraham is Jesus, the Messiah. And through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Peter says to these Jewish people standing before him that God has sent his son, Jesus, to you first, so that you could be ones blessed first, as then all the nations would be blessed. So he sent his son, or perhaps your translation says his servant. The word there is a word that refers to a child, not really a son necessarily specifically, but just a child, or sometimes it is used with reference to a servant. So probably here, better translated, raised up his servant, Jesus. It's the same word used back in verse 13. That likewise, in the some translations, it's translated glorified his son. Other translations say glorified his servant. In this context, I think in both verse 13 and verse 26, it's better to translate it servant. The Messiah in the Old Testament was referred to on many occasions as Jehovah's servant. And I think Peter's making reference to that Old Testament passages that refer to Jesus or refer to the Messiah as the servant of Jehovah. And so he says, he has sent his servant to you first, to the nation of Israel. He sent him to you first that you might receive this blessing, and then he would bless all the nations of the earth. And the receiving of the blessing would be that you would be turning away from your iniquities or from your wicked ways. Again, he ends with this idea of repentance. That's what repentance is, a turning away from something, a turning away from your sin, a change of mind concerning that sin and turning to God. Again, taking you back to verse 19, repent and be converted. Repent from your sin, turn from that, be converted, turn to God through Jesus Christ and through faith in him, your sins will be forgiven. And he concludes with the same idea of turning away from your wickedness, turning away from your sin, turning away from your iniquities, and the five results. Your sins would be blotted out, the kingdom will come, the Messiah will return, judgment will be avoided, and blessings will be realized. So he gives out hope to the very ones who crucified the Messiah. If they can be converted, if they can be forgiven, then anyone can be forgiven. And this whole sermon is a perfect example of how we can present the gospel to others. Peter started with sin. And that's where we need to start in our conversation with people when it comes really right down to the gospel. Don't necessarily start with sin in our conversation, but when you really come down to the gospel, we need to start with the sin question. They need to understand that they're sinners in need of a Savior. If they don't understand that they're sinners and that they need a Savior, then they're never going to accept the Savior. We've got to start with that sin question. And Peter does. He doesn't, like I said, he doesn't hold back at all. He lets them know that they have sinned, a great sin before God. But then he gives them hope. Repent. There is conversion. There is blessing. There is the kingdom to come. And they certainly would have recognized that. We don't have really time to get into the next few verses there, but in chapter 4, let's just end with that. As they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody unto the next day, for it was now eventide. But many of them who heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I just want to conclude with that thought. Many heard this sermon, and many believed. Sometimes we think, you know, if we're too harsh with reference to sin, and Peter was harsh. And sometimes we get the idea, if I'm too harsh in my witness with reference to sin, that I'll turn people off. It didn't turn people off. It convicted them. And they were saved. They believed because the Spirit of God was working in their heart. Now, the religious leaders didn't like it too much, and we'll get into that next week as they were put in jail. And the next day, they had to stand before the Sanhedrin, the authorities at that time. They weren't too happy that they were preaching through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. You'll notice as we go down through that next week, these religious leaders never denied that Jesus rose again. They never denied it. They didn't like it that they were preaching the resurrection, but they never denied that he rose again. These religious leaders, remember, they paid off. They bribed the soldiers to lie about it. They knew what happened. They just tried to suppress the truth. And so they never denied it. They just didn't like it. But many believed through this sermon as Peter preached Christ and then preached repentance. And many did repent. It says there that the number of the men was about 5,000. There's some debate as to what does that mean. Does it mean that 5,000 men trusted Christ as their Savior through this sermon? Or is it saying simply that by this time, there were now 5,000 men in the church at Jerusalem? We know that 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost, and there was a period of time between Pentecost and this sermon that Peter preached, and so some have suggested that the 5,000 men here is referring to the total number from the day of Pentecost until this point that had trusted Christ. Others said, no, it's referring to 5,000 men that were actually saved through this sermon. We're not going to settle that question. We just know this. Many, many people were saved. Many, many people came to know Christ as their Savior. Many people did repent, but the nation as a whole did not. And so the kingdom has not yet come. It's going to. And we read in Scripture in the future that the nation of Israel will repent. They will turn back to their God. That's what the tribulation period's all about. It's in the tribulation period that the nation of Israel will turn back to their God, they will repent, and Christ will come, and he will establish his kingdom. They didn't do it when Jesus was here, when he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They didn't do it here in Acts chapter 3 when Peter says, repent, and the kingdom will come. But they will in the future. They will repent. Jesus will come. He will establish the kingdom. Do you have any questions? Any comments? Again, I think it's a great example of the presentation of the gospel. Yes?
Should the church today then pray for Jews today to repent so that the kingdom will come?
I believe so. I believe we should. We understand, you know, not to get into a lot of eschatology, we understand that the rapture will take place before he comes to establish the kingdom. So that rapture could take place at any time, but the second coming of the Messiah after the tribulation will only come when the nation of Israel repents. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're very grateful for, again, this time together to study your word, and I do pray, as you've told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that can only come when the Prince of Peace comes and when Israel repents, when your chosen people repent and accept Jesus as their Messiah. In the meantime, Father, we are to proclaim the gospel message to all the nations, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we continue to pray that we'd be faithful in our witness and in our testimony, even as we come into this Christmas season. Help us be faithful in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may we see others come to know Christ as their Savior in recognition of their need because of their sin, and the forgiveness of sin through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll be going offline.